We're in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This is an amazing chapter. 50 verses in this chapter, but each line is loaded with information, something that will cause us to stop and consider what exactly the Lord is communicating with us and what he wants done. And if we can just go straight to the chapter, Matthew 12, passage starts out this way in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. I'm one that stops when I find oddities in the word. And that verse starts out in a very remarkable way. He says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Notice what it did not say. It did not say through the cornfield. Now, it is assumed it is through the cornfield. But the Lord is trying to communicate something to us, and I don't want us to miss it. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day, that's the day of rest, went through the corn. He went through the corn. Remember what I said earlier, it did not say through the cornfield. It says he went through the corn. Now, what is it that he's trying to say through the corn? The Lord tells us that except the kernel of corn dies, it abides alone. And so when it's talking about corn, it is representative not just of the corn as maize. It's addressing the fact, it's trying to bring our mind to what he really is all about. He's talking about people. He's talking about lives. On the Sabbath day, on the day of rest, Jesus goes through the corn. He's working through people. He's really trying to deal with people. And you're going to see in just a moment how important that simple statement is. He went through the corn, and his disciples were hungry. Now he's going back to the regular information, but don't lose that first part that sounds so odd. On the Sabbath day, he went through the corn. Don't lose that point, because that's the real thing he wants to address. That's the real thing he wants to address. Everything else is side spots. But the real thing he wants to really talk about is through the corn. That I go through people. I work in people. I'm interested in people. That's where he wants to go. That's what he wants to do. And that simple understanding of that will cause us to understand the discussions that are going to take place next. He goes through, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. They're doing something that's not lawful on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. You guys are, they're doing something wrong. They're doing something wrong. They're eating corn on the Sabbath day. They're plucking corn on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you hear about David? David and his men go to the place where the tabernacle is. They step in there and they take the showbread, which only the priest meant to eat, because they were hungry. And the point Jesus is making is, hey, please sit down, chill out. The people are hungry. Let them eat. I know this. I know it's holy. I know that. But what I'm concerned about right now is that these guys are hungry. They got to eat. With our religious minds, we can lose sight of the fact that God is really interested in people, and say, okay, yeah, this is not really right, but it's people. Are you with me so far? So you understand why he starts out that way. He went through the corn. He said, I'm going through people. I'm working with people. I'm interested in people. Not in rules, laws, and regulations. I just want it to be fine with people. Now, that is not a license for abuse. The Bible says they were very hungry. They were hungered. And he is trying to address an issue. Because many times we can just be set in our ways of thinking and forget about people. Well, shouldn't have done that. But they were hungry. Okay. So he goes on. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? On Sabbath days, if the priests profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Why? Because God is looking beyond the profanity. He's looking at, why did they do that? And say, okay. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, watch this next statement, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm about mercy. You would not have condemned the guiltless. But they're breaking the law. They're plucking corn on the Sabbath. That's work. He says they are guiltless. Why are they guiltless? They're hungry. That's why. They're hungry. Now forget that. I'm the one who put the law in there. And I'm saying it's okay. Why? Because I love people. It's fine. Just go home. Mind your business. Don't see it. Wow. How can we apply that principle on a daily basis in dealing with people, in appreciating people? Or do we spend our time just going crazy about things? Why do people do what they do? Really, why? You can blame people for all kinds of things. And listen, I'm going to use a very odd, far-fetched example now. But, so there's this guy. He just lost his family. Everything just went berserk. And he goes and grabs a bottle of gin and starts guzzling down and is drunk. You can come and say, hey, look at you, you're going to hell, you're drunk, blah, 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 blah. Or you can say, chill. This guy just went through all kinds of stuff. Just love him. Help him through this situation. Or you can become judgmental and critical and everything else and make the person even worse off. You don't know why people are going through what they're going through or why they do what they're doing. And God says, get your head off that and just chill out. There's a reason. Find out the reason why people do what they do rather than just become judgmental. Find out. Because we can be so critical of what people are doing and blame and blame and blame and blame and beat people down and just make them feel like nothing. You don't know why they did what they did. But put yourself in their place. Sure, you won't do it that way, but do you understand why they did it? Why did they do it? And how can you help them go past that? Now, if they are always going around, you know, plucking every time, you know, they don't care about the Sabbath, that's a totally different situation. But give people a break. Just give them a break. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He says, I will have mercy. I will just have mercy. Not sacrifice. I'm not just interested in sacrifice. Sacrifice is good, but I will have mercy. But have you? But if you had known, if you'd known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you will not have condemned the guiltless. You actually call them guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. It's Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, it goes on, it says, and when he was departed then, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? That's work. He says, the sheep fell inside a pit. Which one of you will not go in there and pull that sheep out of that pit? You're going to leave it there to die? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. The Sabbath day, which is a day of rest, is a day for you not to work. Just because God just wants you to have a break. But when there is something to be done, do it. It's a good thing to do. But don't make a practice of working. Oh, well, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. Because if I don't do this, things are going to be late and blah, blah, blah. And God says, you got 6 days. On that 7 day rest. But if there's an emergency, it's an emergency. Save life. Why? I'm interested in people. God really is interested in people. He loved so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They had council. They had a meeting, an emergency meeting, to figure out how they're going to destroy Jesus. Why? He told the man whose hand had been withered, stretch forth your hand. But as there is a little bit more to this particular passage of Scripture that I would like us to look at. In Mark, or rather in Luke 6, the Lord restates this particular passage. And starts out this way, and came to pass also on another Sabbath. Tells us it was in the same Sabbath when they were going through the field. This is another Sabbath. That he entered into the synagogue and taught. That's interesting. His teaching. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. What is he doing? He's not doing this secretly. This man is in there. He comes in another day. Says to the man, stand forth. Get up. Come, stand right here in the middle. He knows what everybody, the Pharisees, were thinking. He knows they are there, you know, just fuming, ready to accuse, ready to do whatever. And he's more interested in seeing this man well than whatever it is that they are thinking they want to do. He's committed to this one man to do something for him. And he says, rise up. And that's the first thing the Lord says to us after teaching his word. The teaching of the word of God brings us to the place where God identifies our personal issue. His right hand, this man's right hand, that's the hand of strength, is withered. It's shrunk. It is there, but it's just a stub. It's not doing anything. He says, rise up. Stand forth. Rise up. So the man rises up. He says, stand forth. Stay in the midst. He takes the man out of the fringes and brings him right to the center. And man, the Bible says, and man arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus, I will ask you one thing. I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? On Sabbath days, is it good to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Is the question. As far as Jesus is concerned, the Sabbath day is a day for good and a day of life. But more so, healing is a good thing. Not healing him is evil. I want us to consider that and remind ourselves that It is God's good will. It is His desire to do good every day and to cause us to rest, and that sickness and disease is evil and is connected to destruction. But healing is about good and life. And when we understand that, we can, when we pray for healing and for deliverance, we can say, God, I know you're a good God and healing is good. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you went through the corn. Let your healing power flow in me and through me and remove me from evil and from destruction. Amen? Because it's God's goodwill to bring healing and restoration. He says, and looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one with another what they might do to Jesus. They were filled with madness. Wow. Another thing I need us to think about, the scriptures tell us that it was the right hand that was withered. Verse 6, there was a man whose right hand was withered. When Jesus asked for him to stretch forth his hand, he didn't say to him, stretch forth your right hand. Did he? No, he just said, stretch forth your hand. The decision was the man's decision, which hand he was going to stretch forth. He could stretch forth the left hand anytime, any day, anywhere, at all times, stretching forth the right hand. That's a hand that he couldn't stretch forth. So for him to stretch forth the right hand and receive restoration was an act of faith, an act of agreement, because Jesus did not say, stretch forth your right hand. Never said it. When God says, be healed, do you by faith connect with what God wants done and what you want done in your life? Is it possible that this man, though his right hand had been withered for whatever reason, still desired God will do something for him? That means he never gave up hope. Let's look at something a little bit more on this particular passage. I know we're studying through Matthew, but let's look at Mark. Mark chapter 3. Mark 3. And we'll see something else. And this is what I want you to see. It says, and he entered what? Again, into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Luke tells us it was the right hand. Mark says he had a withered hand. But this time, Mark tells us something very interesting that Luke hinted at, but did not specify as specifically as this. And he entered again into the synagogue. In other words, he had been in the synagogue and left. He'd been there. We don't know whether it was that same day or the week before, but he entered again into the synagogue. Meaning then that this man possibly was there the first time Jesus was there and did not get his healing. But this time, Jesus comes again, and this time, Jesus is focused on him. He's focused on him. You know, sometimes you might miss the opportunity to receive whatever it is God is doing at a particular time. But never lose sight of the fact that He has a specific day for you. There's a day, an appointed time. And sometimes you might miss it. You might remember the story in the book of Acts about the man at the beautiful gate that Peter and John met. And he said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The Bible tells us something crucial about that man, that that man was laid daily at that gate. So Jesus has been through that temple, through that beautiful gate, quite a few times. Actually, we know of two very specific times when he came in there and he healed everybody. Everybody that was sick, he healed all of them. How is it that this man who is there, supposedly there every day, missed his opportunity? Sometimes you can miss it, but God is so interested in people, he will do it again and again until he hooks up. He wants to hook up with every one of us and bring about restoration. And the point I'm trying to make is this: don't ever give up on yourself because you missed it one time. Stick with the program. Jesus entered again. He's looking for him. Maybe he missed it the first time when he came. But he came again because he wanted to make sure that the right hand of your life is not withered. That the right hand of righteousness is not withered. That the right hand of your prosperity is not withered. That any part of my life or your life where we have experienced a withering, a shortening, a shrinking, that's caused us not to be effective, God wants to heal us in that place. And I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that the God who heals, heals every one of us in the areas of our lives where we've been handicapped. Amen? God is a healer of the handicapped person. Praise the Lord. Did he mind or care what these guys were planning? You think, you know, or people will always celebrate when something good happens. Yeah. You've not lived long enough. If you live long enough, you know when good things happen, some people are out there ready to curse you, ready to, you know, bring you down one peg at a time. And if they can bring you down 20 pegs one shot so that you slam there and break all of your spine, they will do it. That's people. Does Jesus care? No. I'm here to help this man. No matter what it's going to cost me, I'm going to help. And the reason Jesus ultimately died was because he loved people enough even to raise them from the dead. The last one he did that really got them really piping hot was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And now they didn't only want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus. Okay, you know, this man, he's messing everything up. May the grace of God be on our lives so much that we cause people to be so frustrated because we're helping people. Amen. It's a good thing to be used of God to bring healing and strength to people. Because God loves people. That's why he came. He came because of people. But many times we want to be judgmental. We want to be critical. We want to do everything else but just love people. Fault and all. Just love people. So, you know why the person did what they did? Just love them. Stop being judgmental and critical. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Yes, I know they shouldn't have done that. You don't know why they did what they did. And there should be no excuse for why they did what they did, but find a way to pull them in and bring about restoration. Stretch forth your hand. Amen. Stretch forth. You know, people should be so comfortable that they are willing to stretch forth that hand that's no good. Expose that hand that they've been hiding. And bring it out. People should be comfortable enough around us to understand that we love them enough, not just to judge them and criticize them, but to bring about restoration. Amen? It's important. Very, very important. You can go out down the street, you know, and, look at you. You're a prostitute. You know, you're going to go to hell. Do you know why they're practicing that? You have any idea? Is there any way you can bring about restoration rather than, are you going to hell? Do you know why that guy over there is drunk? He shouldn't be drunk, but do you know why? And is there anything you can do to bring about restoration and healing to that life? God didn't call us to just, if God did that, none of us would be saved. It was while we're yet sinners that Christ died. True? Died for us while we're yet sinners. Now that doesn't mean we go practicing sin. But that means that we go past people's faults and seek restoration. That's our calling. That's God's divine call for every one of us. Matthew 12. Let me wrap up with this part. Matthew 12, starting to read from verse 15. He says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. This is a very interesting part. He withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Okay. When Jesus knew that they were planning to destroy him, he withdrew himself. Wow. No kidding. He withdrew himself? Yes. He didn't say, well, I'm such a mighty man of God. You can't do nothing to me. I dare double, triple dare you. Come. No, you see, these people want to kill me. Let me get out of here. That's what he did. Sometimes you need to get out. He did that. But even when he withdrew himself from the place where they are planning to destroy him, that's what he did. With the place where they were planning to destroy him, he says, great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Every one of them that followed him, he healed. And if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must also believe that he is a God who wants us healed everywhere we hurt. He healed them all. And watch the next thing the Bible says here. Very interesting. It says, and charged them that they should not make him known. Says, listen, man, I'm trying to hide. Don't tell anybody where I am. See what? Jesus, come on. You're Jesus. Come on. You're not telling them, don't tell anybody. He said, yeah, don't tell anybody where I am. I'm hiding. Why is he doing that? Because it's a smart thing to do. He wants to complete his race. He wants to complete his assignment, and he doesn't want anything to handicap what he wants done. Faith is faith when you've heard from God about certain things. But when you've not heard from God to do certain things, do what makes sense. That's the lesson it's trying to communicate with us. Do what makes sense. There are times when in Luke 4, after he finished preaching, they took him out and were about to push him down the cliff. And Bible says he turns around and he walks right through the midst of them. And actually, the text, when you connect the dots, the text, it's like he turns around and he shows up in Capernaum. It's quite a distance away. He was there. Jesus couldn't do anything. He said, listen, I can call down a battalion. You can't touch me. Jesus can call down angels and nobody is going to touch him. So why doesn't he do that? Why is he hiding and telling people, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody where I am. And by the way, don't tell anybody where I am. You're healing all these people. They know where you are. They know where you are. You're healing all these people. The noise is going to go everywhere. What do you mean, don't tell anybody? That's the human Jesus. Amen? Human Jesus. You know, he says, tell them. Give them a shot. Okay? Don't tell nobody. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to tell everybody. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. You know, many times when we read the word judgment, we think about a sledgehammer coming down. But judgment is, when God talks about judgment, it's not about the sledgehammer. Now and then, it's a sledgehammer. But judgment is about God's fairness, his equity, his understanding. Oh yeah, you know, these people, you're going through all kinds of stuff. I care about you, I love you. So that he shall show judgment to the Gentiles is about showing mercy to the Gentiles. Judgment there is not about punishment, because what is he doing? He's healing everybody. He's healing everybody. Now, understand that this is the same Jesus who said, go and minister to the Jews. And the same one who says to the Syrophoenician woman, hey, healing is for the children. You don't give bread that's meant for children to dogs. Huh? In other words, woman, you're a Gentile, you're a dog. But the woman says, well, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. He's trying to get to a point. He knew what the response of the woman is going to be. He wanted us to know that no matter how illegal it might seem for us to get something from God, that God is very willing to give to us because he cares about us. cares. Whether it's the showbread that's been eaten or the corn that's been eaten on the Sabbath, he cares about people. If there's anything that we need to take away today, it is this: God cares about people. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. See that? A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Equity, fairness unto victory. This is what he wants to bring about. He wants to bring healing. So the bruised reed, he's not just saying, this is useless, and just break it. No, God, that's not God. Sees that you're bruised, he's finding a way to heal. He's trying to bind the wound, bring about restoration. We should practice this with each other. Extend mercy, love for people. Stop being just critical, judgmental in a negative way. Just, what are we going to gain tearing down people, making them feel terrible? Is there an answer there? Or is mercy the better way? And God will say to us, mercy is better. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grasp the principles of your truth today. Help us, O God, to understand what it is that you're calling us to do, how you're calling us to live. So, Lord, O God, that our lives is not clouded with judgment and criticism, self-centered, selfish ways. Lord, O God, that we see through situations and give people a break. Just love people. Help us to love each other. Rather than tear each other down, let's just love each other the way that you've loved us. We give you praise for this, Father. And we are thankful that your grace is sufficient. May we walk, O God, in your divine grace all of our days and be a voice of reason, voice of love, the voice, O God, of patience and understanding. So people are restored rather than discarded. This we ask, Most High God, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.